Welcome to episode 1250 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. In our last episode, we explored the concept of being born again and the foundational role of prayer in a follower's life. We learned that prayer for Jesus was not a formality, but a vital, personal conversation that shaped every aspect of his ministry and was an act of complete dependence on the Father. Now we'll turn our attention to another essential spiritual discipline that Jesus practiced and taught, fasting. For many people, fasting is a misunderstood or intimidating practice. It's often associated with deprivation, legalism, or a way to earn God's favor. But for Jesus and countless figures throughout the Bible, fasting was a key spiritual tool for drawing closer to God and gaining spiritual clarity. It was a way to prioritize the unseen over the seen, the eternal over the temporary. In Matthew 4, we learn that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus began his public ministry not with a public sermon or a miraculous healing, but with a prolonged, intense period of fasting. He chose to deny his physical needs to focus on his spiritual ones. This was his preparation for the ultimate spiritual battle. But Jesus was not the first to do this. The practice of fasting is woven throughout the entire story of Scripture. Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai before receiving the Ten Commandments. Daniel fasted as he sought prophetic revelation and wisdom. Esther called for a 3-day fast to prepare for her courageous approach to the king to save her people. Elijah fasted to receive strength and direction from God. Fasting is a time-honored discipline, a way for God's people to consecrate themselves for his purposes. So, what can we learn from Jesus about the purpose of fasting? First, fasting is about refocusing our desires. In the wilderness, Jesus was hungry, but he was also seeking to align his will with the Father's. His first temptation was to turn stones into bread to satisfy his physical hunger. His response was,
"Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Fasting is a physical way of saying that our spiritual nourishment is more important than our physical sustenance. It trains us to shift our focus from earthly cravings to divine truths. In a world of constant consumption, where we are slaves to our appetites for food, for entertainment, for distractions, fasting is a radical act of liberation. Second, fasting is about strengthening our spiritual resolve. By denying himself physically, Jesus was strengthening his spiritual resolve to resist temptation. He was showing that he was not a slave to his appetites. He was training himself, much like an athlete prepares for a marathon. In the same way, fasting helps us exercise our spiritual muscles. It's a practice that teaches us discipline and helps us identify and break the hold that worldly desires have on us. Finally, fasting is about listening to God. When we eliminate distractions, particularly the distraction of food and the routines that surround it, we create space to hear God's voice more clearly. Fasting is a way of silencing the noise of our bodies so we can tune into the whispers of the Spirit. It's a tool for seeking guidance, clarity, and direction from God. So, what are the tangible, spiritual results of fasting that we see in the lives of Jesus and others in the Bible? First, fasting brings clarity and direction. For Jesus, the 40 days of fasting prepared him for the pivotal moments of his ministry, including his public proclamation. He received spiritual and strategic clarity that set the course for his work. Similarly, in the book of Acts, the disciples in Antioch fasted and prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave them clear direction to send out Barnabas and Saul on their first missionary journey. Fasting helps us cut through the mental clutter and emotional noise of our lives to hear God's will. Second, fasting cultivates a spirit of humility. To fast is to physically humble yourself before God. It's an act of saying, "I am not self-sufficient. I need you more than I need food." This is a powerful antidote to pride. As David said in Psalm 35, "I humble myself with fasting." In a culture that celebrates self-reliance, this kind of dependence on God is a powerful act of worship. It reminds us that our life comes from Him, and is sustained by Him alone. Third, fasting can build empathy. While we are not fasting to experience the suffering of the poor, the act of denying ourselves a meal can help us better understand the hunger and need that millions of people experience every day. It can make our prayers for justice and for the impoverished more heartfelt and can inspire us to take action. It connects our spiritual practice to our social conscience, reminding us that we are called to be Jesus's hands and feet to the broken world around us. Let's get deep. The practice of fasting reveals a deeper truth about Jesus's relationship with the Father. While he was fully human and felt the pangs of hunger, his 40-day fast was an act of complete dependence. His reliance on the Father for sustenance, both spiritual and physical, was absolute. This is the profound paradox of fasting. In our physical weakness, we discover spiritual strength. In our self-denial, we find ourselves more fully dependent on God's provision. This is a truth that goes against everything our culture teaches. We are told to be strong, self-sufficient, and in control. But Jesus, the most powerful being to ever walk the earth, models for us that true authority and strength come not from our own might, but from our complete surrender to God's will. Fasting, therefore, is not a message of self-flagellation or punishment. Jesus spoke out against the Pharisees who fasted for show and for personal glory. He taught that fasting should be a private act between us and the Father. When you fast, he said,
do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen.
This reveals that fasting, when done correctly, is an act of intimacy, not performance. It's a secret conversation with God, a love letter written not with words, but with our very bodies. It's a way of telling God that He is more important to us than anything else, even our basic needs. So how can we apply this spiritual discipline to our lives today? It's not just a theological concept to debate, it's a reality to live out. Start small and with purpose. Fasting doesn't have to be 40 days and 40 nights. You can start with a single meal, a day, or even something other than food, like social media, a particular TV show, or a distraction that takes up a lot of your time. The key is to have a clear spiritual purpose, to seek God's will, to pray for a specific situation, or to focus on a particular spiritual need. Replace, don't just remove. The purpose of fasting is not to just feel hungry. It's to replace the time and energy you would spend on a physical activity with a spiritual one. When you feel a hunger pang, see it as a reminder to pray, read scripture, or simply be still in God's presence. Use that moment as a trigger for a spiritual act. Focus on intimacy, not performance. Fasting is not a way to earn God's favor or to prove your spiritual dedication. It's a way to draw closer to Him. Do it in private and be honest about your struggles. The goal is to be with Jesus, not just to complete a spiritual checklist. Pray with your fast. Fasting and prayer are two sides of the same coin. They work together. As you fast, let your hunger be a prayer. Let the desire for food be a reminder to deepen your desire for God. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you with His presence as you empty yourself of physical sustenance. Consider a communal fast. While fasting is a personal practice, the Bible also has many examples of corporate fasting for a shared purpose. The church, as we discussed in our last episode, can fast together for a specific need, like a season of repentance, for a breakthrough in a particular ministry, or for a city. This is a powerful way to put our faith into action together and to participate in God's work as a unified body. The conversation doesn't end here. Take these questions into your communities, your churches, and your own prayer life. And remember, the goal isn't to win arguments about Jesus. It's to be transformed by Him. Father, we thank You for the spiritual discipline of fasting. Teach us to deny our earthly appetites so that we may more fully hunger for You. Give us the strength to seek You in moments of weakness and help us to listen for Your voice in the silence. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,